Hello, and welcome back to another podcast of St. Thomas High School's Radio Plays. This week, we are thrilled to present a story from one of the most famous literary detectives in English history. No, not the one who wears the deerstalker, smokes a pipe, and works with Dr. Watson. And no, not the humble priest who uses his wits and wisdom to discern the truth. We're talking about the retired Belgian police officer turned private detective, Hercule Poirot. He's got no family, he's independently wealthy, and he's full of more idiosyncrasies than Sherlock Holmes, Father Brown, and Adrian Monk put together. Hercule Poirot first appeared in Agatha Christie's first published novel, The Mysterious Affairs at Stiles, which debuted in 1920. The first description of him comes from another character who claimed, "He was hardly more than 5 feet 4 inches, but carried himself with great dignity. His head was exactly the shape of an egg, and he always perched it a little on one side. The neatness of his attire was almost incredible. I believe a speck of dust would have caused him more pain than a bullet wound." Poirot takes great pride in his appearance, from his immaculately groomed mustache to his patent leather shoes. He even uses a special preparation to conceal the gray. Poirot stars in 33 novels and 59 short stories and one original full-length play by Agatha Christie. And today, we're going to listen to St. Thomas's production of one of Poirot's sojourns to America. But enough of my talking. It's time to sit back and engage those little gray cells. Starring Bishop Yochebidus and Alison Tirado, here's Agatha Christie's Poirot, The Case of the Careless Client.
From the thrill-packed pages of Agatha Christie's unforgettable stories of corpses, clues, and crime, Mutual now brings to you, complete with bowler hat and brave mustache, your favorite detective, Hercule Poirot, starring Bishop Yochebidus in The Case of the Careless Client. Before meeting Hercule Poirot in his first American adventure, it seems only fitting for the millions of faithful readers who have followed the little Belgian detective's career in book form to meet the famous lady who created this famous character. So it is our privilege to present a message from Agatha Christie, introducing Hercule Poirot from London, England. The next voice you will be hearing is Miss Agatha Christie's. Go ahead, London.
"I feel that this is an occasion that would have appealed to Hercule Poirot. He would have done justice to the inauguration of this radio program, and he might have even made it seem something of an international event. However, as he's heavily engaged in an investigation, about which you will hear in due course, I must, as one of his oldest friends, deputize for him. The great man has his little foibles, but really I have the greatest affection for him, and it has been a source of continuing satisfaction to me that there has been such a generous response to his appearance on my books. And I hope that his new career on the radio will make many new friends for him among the wider public."
Thank you, Miss Agatha Christie. And now, Mutual presents Hercule Poirot in his first American adventure, The Case of the Careless Client.
Monsieur?
Huh?
This is the Cozy Room Apartment Renting Agency.
When we got something to rent, yeah.
I have the desire to rent an apartment.
Who hasn't?
Oh, please, monsieur, do not jest. I have with me a brief dossier of my requirements.
Well, all right. Gentleman desires a bright sunshining apartment of a reasonable quietness near the heart of the city. Should be furnished with utmost charm, French provincial if possible. Price is of no consequence as long as it is very reasonable. Huh. Please communicate me at the Hotel Windsor, Hercules Poirot, Poirot?
No, monsieur. The name is Poirot. Hercule Poirot.
Well, I wish you luck, Mr. Poirot.
Finding an apartment, monsieur, is not a matter of luck. It is a matter of employing the little gray cells. If you can find an apartment for me, please do me the kindness to inform me.
Sure, if you'll do something for me.
And what is that?
If you could find the apartment for me, please do the kindness to inform me.
Going up. Floor, please.
Number 5. You are new here, no?
Yes, sir. Only came on yesterday. You're Mr. Poirot, aren't you?
Poirot.
Well, Poirot. One of the boys pointed you out to me. Here you go. Fifth floor.
Oh, a thousand apologies, madame.
Not at all. It was entirely my fault.
Madame appears troubled. Perhaps I may be of some slight assistance?
No, I... Well, if you're sure you don't mind.
But of course not.
You see, it's my door. It won't open.
Ah, and where is this obstinate door, eh?
It's right down the corridor, room 515.
If I may have the key?
But that's just it. The door isn't locked. I left it open only 10 minutes ago.
Indeed. Madame is very trusting, eh?
Here it is. You see, it's stuck. It won't budge.
It is not precisely stuck, madam. It gives a trifle. This door is barricaded.
Oh, my goodness.
Ah, voila, she moves, huh?
Oh, thanks a million. Now, what do you suppose...
No, wait, madam. Perhaps it is better if I look first. Ah, lass, it is as I have feared.
What is it?
You do not know? Look.
Oh, it's a man? Is he...
Oui, madame. He has been strangled. This is murder.
Tonight, Hercule Poirot in The Case of the Careless Client, recorded live in front of a studio audience.
Zut alors, I must compliment you, madame. Your color, it is excellent. And you do not even commence to faint. For one who...
I don't fall apart in crisis, if that's what you mean. And furthermore, I'm not madame. I'm mademoiselle. By choice. Miss Abigail Fletcher. And now, if you'll get the corpse out of here, I'd like to sit down.
That I regret I cannot do, mademoiselle. The body must not be touched before the police arrive.
Police?
Yes, of course, the police. I'm calling them now. Hello, hello? Ah, Inspector Stevens. It is I, Hercule Poirot. Alas, no, I have not yet found the apartment. But I have found something of perhaps more interest. A corpse. Right here in my hotel. Room number...
515.
515... Mademoiselle, what are you doing with the body?
Nothing. I was just trying to see his face.
And you will have that opportunity later. Pardon, Inspector. We are in room 515. Eh bien, we shall expect you immediately. Eh bien, Miss Fletcher, now that you are satisfied as to the identity of this gentleman, perhaps you will be good enough to tell me who he is?
I certainly will not. Who do you think you are?
Ah, mademoiselle, permit me to present myself. I am Hercule Poirot. Formerly chief of the Belgian Surety.
Yeah, that's what you say. Now look, Mr. Poirot, I've read plenty of detective stories, and none of them had a detective that looked anything like you. I'll wait for the police and let them ask the questions.
As you desire, mademoiselle. I merely wish to point out one thing. It is you the police will question first. You are the most likely suspect, no?
Well, all right. What do you want to know?
First, what are you doing here in this hotel?
Why, I've lived here for 10 solid years, ever since I left Wasikegu, Maine.
And what do you do? What is your occupation?
Why, I don't have any occupation. I've got a little income, and I like it here in New York. In the last few years, I've been doing war work, Red Cross and things like that.
You seem a trifle vague, mademoiselle. Now, about this man, who is he?
I don't know. I never saw him before in my life.
Mademoiselle, I advise you to consider your answers with care. Do not forget a man lies dead in this room.
I can't help that. I don't know who he is or how he got here. I told you I was out of the room for 10 minutes.
That's by me, Miss Fletcher. But it does not help you. This man has been dead for at least 1 hour.
How do you know?
Well, when you first touched the body, you should have observed it was already beginning to cool. Therefore, mademoiselle, if you left this room only 10 minutes ago, your situation is indeed grave, for this man was already dead.
Oh, but I couldn't have done it.
So? Why not?
Because his body was lying right across the doorway. You know perfectly well I couldn't get out through this doorway and still leave a body wedged against it. Belgian surety indeed.
Ah, very good, mademoiselle. But you could have murdered him in here and made your departure by way of this fire escape through the room overhead and come down inside the building to this corridor where you so innocently made my acquaintance. You see, there's evidence that the fire escape has but recently been used. Now, it is not so amusing, huh?
Well, I don't care. I had nothing to do with this. And, you know, detectives, you were out to get a suspect. And just because a man was murdered in my room...
Gently, gently, mademoiselle. All is not lost. Fortunately, you deal with Hercule Poirot, who goes one step beyond the obvious. You see, this poor gentleman was not murdered in your room. He was killed in the room overhead.
But why? Why kill him upstairs and leave him on my doorstep?
That, mademoiselle, we shall discover in due course.
All right, Mr. Poirot. Now that you've got the corpse safely locked in my room and us outside, what am I supposed to do? Sleep on the fire escape?
Oh, I do not think that will be necessary, mademoiselle. You are coming with me to the lobby where we shall wait for my friend Inspector Stevens. He will see that you are comfortably sheltered for the night.
Oh, tell me, Mr. Poirot, how'd you figure out that the murder took place upstairs?
Is it not apparent, Miss Fletcher? Please do squeeze the bell for the elevator. I look out your window and observe the fire escapes. And what do I find? Everywhere the dust reposes peacefully.
Well, naturally. The help is too busy to polish fire escapes.
Ah, mademoiselle, but on one stairway, the one leading from your room window, all is disarranged. There's a broad, clear path through the dust. And it is precisely the width of a human body. And since the path extends only to the floor above, it is obvious the body has been dragged down from room 615. Also, on the garments of the dead man, the trousers, the left elbow, and across the shoulders, there are unmistakable traces of lust. Ah, voila, the elevator.
Going down?
Monsieur, would you be so good as to explain why you are so long in arriving?
Huh? Oh, it's this old car. Every once in a while it goes on the fritz.
Comment, on the fritz?
Yeah, got stuck on the 9th.
You have been on the 9th floor all this time?
Yeah, that's right.
That is difficult to believe.
Why?
Because the indicator has been pointing to the basement.
That indicator. As soon as anything goes wrong, it flops.
I'm not so sure that is true of the indicator, but unquestionably, monsieur, it is true of the too clever murder. As soon as anything goes wrong, it flaps.
Do you have a problem with overcommitment? Do you identify with Hermione Granger from the Harry Potter books? Do you have three separate planners to fit all of the numerous events on your schedule? Are you constantly attempting to balance all of your activities with the slipping state of your sanity? If you or a loved one has ever suffered from overachievement, please reach out to Overachievers Anonymous. OAA is a local support group that can help you cope and manage your overpacked schedule and help you say no to taking on responsibility.
My name is Augusta Patricia McPain, and for years, I've had more than 24 hours of activities to participate in every day. As a two-time state champion swimmer, the student body president and vice president, and the modern-day Beethoven, I struggled. I had no time for anything. I only had time to eat during class and sleep while I drive. After I joined OA, I felt a connection with people just like me. Although I can really only attend meetings every 3 months. I can't miss my Pilates class. Anyway, thanks to OA, I am a new person working to manage my overcommitment.
Again, please contact Overachievers Anonymous at 832-ACHIEVE for assistance dealing with your overachieving. That's 832-ACHIEVE.
Eh bien, Inspector Stevens, there is the situation. An unknown man dragged down from one floor and dragged down the fire escape to another.
Perot, if this is the body of the person I think it is, the commissioner will have my head.
Mon ami, forgive me, you seem agitated.
And we were warned, too. I assigned my best man to guard him. The smartest cop on my force, Sam Tremble. Good Lord, Perot. There will be an international scandal.
Gently, mon ami. You go too fast, even for Hercule Poirot. Who is this magnificent figure of international importance?
Parrish. Jonathan Parrish.
Parrish. Ah, oui, the name rings a bell. He is the big currency expert, hein?
That's right. He's on his way to Europe to set up the new paper currency for these liberated countries. Checked in at the Windsor today. Was supposed to pick up some papers, dyes, and inks, then hop on a bomber tonight.
Fifth floor, please. An enormous undertaking, and one of great importance.
And I was responsible for his safety. He's supposed to be this eccentric sort of guy. No photographs, no publicity. Tremble was the only man on my force who knew him at all, and Tremble failed. You see what this means, Perot?
I see only this, my friend. We have arrived in the first step in the solution of this distressing matter. For now, we know the motive. This way, Inspector. This is the room. Mademoiselle Fletcher, your key.
I'll never live this down.
You exaggerate, mon ami. Even the best of men sometimes fail. Regard, Inspector. Here is your corpse.
They certainly did a job.
Thunderation!
You seem shocked, monsieur.
Perot, do you realize what's happened?
But of course, Inspector. It is not Jonathan Parrish who has been murdered, but your own faithful policeman, Sam Tremble.
Perot, that's not funny. You knew the whole time?
Pardon, mon ami. I knew nothing of the sort.
But you distinctly told
no,
me...
No, Inspector. You told me. To me, the dead man was an unknown corpse. It could be anyone. But when you speak of two men, one a wealthy financier of international importance, the other a police officer, by employing the little gray cells, it is not too difficult to conclude that the corpse with the large, high, comfortable shoes and the plain suit is the policeman.
Oh. Of course. I'm sorry.
Monsieur, there's no time for the profuse apologies.
You're right. We've got to get to Parrish at once. The poor guy doesn't even know his bodyguard's gone. Hello? Operator? What room is Jonathan Parrish in? What? Hold on. Bro, that's the room directly above this one, where Tremble was killed.
Precisely, Inspector.
Operator, let me talk to Mr. Parrish.
I think you will find the gentleman does not answer.
Why not?
Well, obviously, he would not witness a murder without reporting it. On the other hand, he too may have...
Good Lord, Perot. Do you think he's dead too? We know he received a warning from Hillary Kent.
I do not follow you, mon ami.
Huh? Oh, I don't blame you. Hillary Kent is a criminal egomaniac.
Ah, one who commits crime chiefly for the purpose of blackmailing the police?
Exactly. Well, this Hillary Kent, or... someone who calls himself Hillary Kent is one of those guys. He pulled off a few clever jobs a while back and got away with them. We don't know anything about him, but whoever he is, he's got to get this sick thrill out of every job. So he makes it his rule to warn his victims.
I know well the type. And Monsieur Parrish, I take it, has received such a warning.
Right. Now you see why I signed my best man.
Eh bien. But now we must hasten upstairs to Mr. Parrish's room. Already it may be too late.
I'll go too. I don't want to stay here with this body.
You'll stay right here, Miss Fletcher, until I give you permission.
Inspector, if you do not mind. Myself, I am not too adverse to Miss Fletcher's company. I find her very, intriguing.
Oh, no answer.
But naturally, you do not expect the killer to sit and wait for us? You will have to employ the passkey.
Miss Fletcher, you're not to touch anything.
It's perfectly all right. I'm wearing gloves.
The inspector is thinking of fingerprints? Well, I do not think he will find any. Monsieur Kent, or whoever the killer may be, is far too clever to leave any such traces.
Well, maybe. But I want to be sure we don't lose even the tiniest clue.
An excellent approach, mon ami. There are many interesting things we may learn here about Monsieur Parrish.
He certainly gets around a lot.
Oui. The labels on his luggage are from the four corners of the earth.
Miss Fletcher, I said you're not to touch anything.
For goodness sake, it's only a book.
Books may be of great importance, Inspector. This one, for example. It is no ordinary book. It is a stamp album of great value. Yes, these are some of the most valuable stamps I've ever seen. Very interesting. This Guatemala blue here...
Put your hands up, all of you!
Thunderation!
Don't move! I said don't move!
Gently, monsieur, I will not dispute the authority of your gun.
Have you or a loved one been injured in a theater-related accident?
Were you allowed to operate dangerous tools or weapons in a shop without adult supervision?
Were you inappropriately compensated for injuries you received while on the job?
If you replied yes to any of these questions, then you need to call accident attorneys at Clark, Clark & Clark Law Associates.
Our attorneys know that accidents happen and will fight for you and provide the legal help you need to get the compensation you deserve.
After I chopped off my foot during an accident with an axe, I felt hopeless and thought that there was nothing that I could do. Thankfully, I was told about CCC and they were able to get my job to compensate me for my medical bills.
If you were injured on a job and your employer hasn't compensated you, then please call CCC Law Associates for toll-free at 713-ACCIDENTS. That's 713-ACCIDENTS. Call now.
Mister, you can't get away with this. Put your gun down and talk fast. Who the devil are you?
But obviously, Inspector, this is the man we seek. Monsieur Jonathan Parrish.
That's just who I am. All right, speak up. Which one of you is Hillary Kent?
Hillary Kent?
Yes.
Now wait a minute, Mr. Parrish. You've got this all wrong. I'm Inspector Stevens, Homicide Squad, and this is Hercule Poirot, the famous Belgian detective.
So you say. You don't look like policemen to me, particularly that little squirt with the silly mustache. You stay right where you are till I check on you.
Eh bien, Monsieur Parrish, now that you are satisfied as to our identity...
Well, I've heard of you, of course. You're supposed to be the greatest French detective in the world.
Oh. Always people say that about me, monsieur, but it is not entirely true. I am not French. I am Belgian.
Well, I wish you'd all get out of here and leave me alone. I'm expecting my daughter, and I don't want her running into a room full of policemen.
But, monsieur, you are in great danger. You must be protected every moment.
You offering me police protection? Not worth a hoot.
I beg
your... That's what I said! Not worth a hoot. I have protection. Some detective they assigned to me. Where is he?
He is dead.
What?
He was murdered in this very room while protecting you.
Therefore, if you do not object too violently, I shall undertake to protect you until you step aboard your airplane.
All right, stay. I don't know how long it will be. I'm just waiting for one little parcel to be delivered, and then I'm off.
Monsieur is taking with him much equipment?
Oh, yes, quite a load. I've already sent most of it off to the airport.
That is good.
Miss! Don't eat that chocolate!
Oh, nonsense.
It may be poisoned.
This candy isn't poisoned.
I wouldn't be too sure. That box of candy supposedly came from my daughter, Laura. It was delivered a little while ago.
But you suspect she did not send it?
Well, she's supposed to come here in person. Should be here now, in fact. So why should she send it?
You're very shrewd, mon ami.
Hi. Excuse me.
Wait a minute, Johnny. Come back here. What do you want?
Nothing. I just wanted to see if Mr. Parrish got his laundry back, so... Okay.
Oh, yes, I received it.
Okay. Excuse me.
I picked up a few more things to take along, some special dyes and inks. They'll just about fill up that laundry box. Well, excuse me, I've got to go into the bedroom and finish packing.
Crusty old bird, isn't he?
How would you be if you knew someone was out to kill you? No wonder he's jittery.
He is irritable and novice. That perhaps explains it.
Explains what?
Why he wears upon his feet that unique pair of socks, one of which is green and the other brown.
All right, if the man wants to be eccentric, let him be. I've still got a murder to solve. You want to come along?
No, Inspector. I have attached myself to Monsieur Parrish, and I am proposed to see that...
Come in.
Inspector, one of the men found this out in the sidewalk outside the hotel. Thought you might want to look at it before turning it into the lost and found.
Okay, Brady. Thank you. A lady's purse, huh? Usual assortment of stuff. Cosmetics, perfume, change, keys. You make anything of it, Perrault?
Ah, sacre bleu.
What is it?
These initials. LP. Monsieur Parrish?
Yeah?
What did you say was the name of your charming daughter?
Laura.
Good lord. LP? Laura Parrish.
Perrault, where are you going?
I have a little idea. Mademoiselle Fletcher, please do accompany me.
What about Mr. Parrish? You were so attached to him.
I have momentarily become detached. I leave him in your care, Inspector. Protect him with the apple of your eye. Come, come. It will not be the first time you have left the elevator unattended, Monsieur Johnny. Come along.
Mr. Perrault, you're wasting your time in this basement. Believe me.
Nevertheless, it interests me. Please do light the way.
There's nothing here. Just a lot of ash cans.
One moment. What is behind this door?
Well, that's the laundry bin. They keep the soiled linen in there. You won't find anything in there.
Then we shall take but one brief glance, eh?
There. You see? Nothing but a pile of dirty sheets and pillowcases.
Good gracious, what a laundry bill they must have.
Bien. Let us proceed to... One moment.
What is it?
Ah, sacre bleu! Protruding from under these sheets.
Holy cow!
A foot. A small foot. This is what I feared. Ah, it moves! Then we're not too late. Quick, monsieur, help me to uncover her.
That's all I know, Mr. Poirot. I was walking along the street towards the hotel. Just as I passed the alley, I was pulled in. I tried to scream, but something was pressed against my mouth.
Chloroform, Miss Parrish. Had you seen your assailant, you would have seen Hilary Kent. Allow, Miss Parrish, you are most fortunate. Another few minutes under those linens, and who knows? Voila, here is the room of your father. Inspector Stevens, here is Miss Parrish.
Oh, well, that's a relief. Come in, come in. I was afraid, Perrault, you'd turn up with another body. How'd you manage to find her?
That is not important now. We have found her, but we seem to have lost the father.
Oh, yes. Miss Parrish, I'm so sorry. Your father's terribly upset about you, but his material was delivered and, well, he had to rush off to the airport.
Oh, no. Don't tell me I missed him after all this.
Ma pauvre petite, we have neglected you, huh? Miss Fletcher, your room is now free of corpses. Please take Mademoiselle Parrish down to the lobby and extend to her the first aid.
Come along, Laura.
Thank you.
Inspector, I hope you do not later have cause to regret that you allowed Parrish to go off to the airport unprotected.
He'll be all right. Besides, I've got a job to do here. Although, frankly, I'm in a complete fog. I can't make heads or tails of this whole business.
No, Stevens, the head and the tail we have.
What?
Yes, it is merely a fragment of the middle that we still lack.
Well, who is it? Hey, Perot, where are you going?
To see how Miss Parrish is, and to telephone the airport to see that Mr. Parrish receives the proper attention. Au revoir.
Mr. Perot, where are you taking me now? I'd like to have some...
Mr. Perot.
Hello, someone calls?
It's Johnny in that parked car.
Mr. Perot, I got a message from Inspector Stevens. He rushed off a minute ago.
From Stevens? What is it? What is the message?
He says he just got word that Mr. Parrish has been seriously hurt in an automobile accident on North Salem Road.
Oh, mon dieu, this is too much.
You're to get there as fast as you can. Here's the address.
52 North Salem Road. Monsieur, your duties for the day are over?
Yeah.
And this is your vehicle?
Yeah. Why?
There's no time to seek a taxi, so I will impose on your kindness. Miss Fletcher, quickly, please.
North Salem Road, right?
No. To the airport.
What?
But Mr. Parrish isn't at the airport. He's injured on North Salem Road.
No, mademoiselle. That was what I was intended to believe. Do you not think so, Johnny? He is not there, I assure you.
How do you know?
Well, North Salem Road is not on the way to the airport. It is in the opposite direction. This is merely a trick to keep us from the flying field. We must hurry there before it is too late.
Well, the airplane is still there, but I don't see anything amiss.
Hola, over there.
Parrish? As large as life.
Yep, that's him, all right.
Come along, please. No, Monsieur Johnny. Both of you. Monsieur Parrish!
Monsieur Poirot! My daughter. Is she?
She is all right, monsieur. She is at the hotel, resting. She has had a small misadventure, but she is entirely safe.
Oh, thank heavens.
You are relieved, huh?
Am I? I don't think I'd ever gotten on that plane if you hadn't found her. Fortunately, I didn't have to. They've been delayed a little.
Ah, Stevens! Inspector Stevens, I knew you would not walk into the trap.
Yeah, but as usual, you beat me to it. I was already halfway out to North Salem Road before I realized what was cooking.
Eh bien, here's Monsieur Parrish safe and sound, eh? I suggest the bomber be inspected with great care. There may be sabotage.
Good idea.
Also, have all the doors of this building guarded.
Mr. Bro, do I have to hang around here?
But of course, Monsieur Johnny, we may require you for our return trip. Oh, Monsieur Parrish, your pilot is here to report.
We're ready now, Mr. Parrish.
Thank you. Captain, here comes my luggage. Will you see that it gets aboard?
Right, sir.
Be especially careful of that wooden crate. Well, goodbye, Inspector. I must admit you've been extremely helpful, and I'm much obliged.
Not at all. Goodbye, and happy landing, sir.
Miss Fletcher?
Goodbye, sir.
Ah, and Monsieur Poirot, it's been a privilege to know you. I'm only sorry I couldn't remain to see you break the case.
Oh, but you have, monsieur.
I beg your pardon?
The case, it is broken. Inspector, meet Hilary Kent, the gentleman to whom you have just wished bon voyage.
What do you mean, Hilary Kent?
You're mad, Poirot.
Good gracious, I thought he was Parrish.
And that wooden crate, which I have waited so long to see, is not to be moved, Inspector.
Why not?
Because, mon ami, it contains the body of Jonathan Parrish. A charming restaurant, this, Nepa. The plane circling about give one the feeling of flying, eh?
The feeling I've got, if that's what flying gives you, keep me from it.
That is natural, Miss Fletcher. I do not like matter. Ah, Inspector Stevens, everything is taken care of?
Yes, they're taking Ken away now.
Then perhaps you will join us in a little supper.
No thanks, bro. I've got to get back. Well, I just dropped over to ask a few questions.
For example?
Well, when did you first suspect that Kent was impersonating Parrish?
Oh, almost from the start. When we entered the room of Monsieur Parrish, what do we find? An amazing paradox. On the one hand, we have a man who is an ardent stamp collector, whose album is in perfect order, each shade of stamp precisely in its proper place. Except the most valuable one of all, a Guatemala blue, reposing among American 3-cent stamps. Later, when I look at his socks, one green, there's a brown, I am certain the man in the room is colorblind.
And therefore not Parrish?
More important than that, Inspector. He cannot be Parrish, the currency expert, who is to select the colors and shades of the new paper money. Therefore, if the man in the room is not Parrish, who is he?
Obviously, Hillary Kent.
Then why didn't you arrest him right away?
Because without a body, one cannot prove a murder. And I felt sure Monsieur Kent would lead me to the body.
Then you weren't guarding him, you were watching him.
Precisely.
Well, you weren't so smart. When you let him out of your sight, he might have gotten away in that plane.
Oh, not at all. When I called the airport, it was to make sure the plane would not leave till I gave the word.
You know everything, don't you?
Some things are obvious, mademoiselle. We can suppose Hillary Kent discovers the nature of the mission Monsieur Parrish is engaged in. What a magnificent opportunity for a swindler, eh? Perhaps the greatest in history. To remove Jonathan Parrish, fly to Europe as Parrish, deliver the papers, the formulas, the dies to the proper authorities, and then, at the moment just, counterfeit the new currency and reap a huge fortune.
Jumping codfish. The man must be mad.
Perhaps, mademoiselle. But he is also a genius, huh? He learns that Monsieur Parrish is at the Hotel Windsor in room 615. He knocks on the door. Parrish admits him, is at once strangled to death. But the body, that must be taken care of. When no one will find it, there's but one thing to do then. Take the body to Europe in the very packing case which stands in the room.
You mean to tell me you just guessed where the body was?
Oh, no, no, Inspector. There was proof in the room. You remember the second laundry box which Hillary Kent asked for? This is for some special ink, he says to us, which I have only now purchased. Obviously, this is a lie. On such a mission, one does not purchase supplies at the last minute. And I know these inks and dyes have been removed from some other box or crate to make room for the body.
Gracious, it's as plain as the nose on my face. What about Laura Parrish?
Ooh, I got that part figured out. She calls up and says to Kent,
Pop, I'm coming over.
Of course, he can't allow that with the jigs up. So, he gets down to the alley and eliminates her. Isn't that right, Perot?
Exactly. As for poor Tremble, he has been with Parrish, he knows him. When he knocks on the door and Kent appears, he demands to see Parrish. Kent kills him, and since the packing case is already occupied, drags him down to Miss Fletcher's room.
That was his big mistake. He should never start it up with me.
Excuse me for a minute. I think that's the ward wagon pulling in.
Mademoiselle, may I ask you a question of a personal nature?
Fire away.
Mademoiselle, you are not now engaged in a business enterprise?
No.
Are you fluent with the shorthand and the typewriter?
Why, yes.
Hold on. Mademoiselle, I find you both intelligent and amusing. Two things Inspector Stevens could never hope to be. Moreover, I am in great need of a secretary with your superb qualifications.
Why, Mr. Perrault?
Oh, you do not yet employ the little Kreisers to the best advantage. Nevertheless, if you are interested...
Oh, Mr. Perrault, for 10 years I've been devouring detective stories, and you ask me if I'm interested? Chief, you got a secretary.
Well, Perrault, they've taken Ken away now. I guess that winds up this case.
Not quite, Inspector. Tell me, where does Monsieur Kent reside?
Well, we found a lease for him on an apartment in Gramercy Park.
This is a good neighborhood?
Oh, swell. It's right in the heart of the city. But why do you ask?
I do not think Monsieur Kent will need an apartment for some time. But I do. You see, my friends, it is as I have said. Finding an apartment in New York City is the essence of simplicity. One only has to solve, 2 murders.
B
Be sure to listen next week when Agatha Christie, America's favorite mystery writer, brings you her favorite detective, Hercule Poirot, starring Bishop Yochebitis in the case of Murder by the Sea.
This has been a production of St. Thomas High School. Our director is Dan Green. Co-director is Kim Shipman. Student directors of Hercule Poirot in The Case of the Careless Client were Hayden Diamond and Bishop Yochebitis, based on the works of Agatha Christie. Our cast was Danielle Barthelot as Agatha Christie, Brian Devers as radio announcer, hotel clerk, and airline pilot, Hayden Diamond as Inspector Stevens, Cecilia Lee as Laura Parrish, Reese Lloyd as Elevator Man and Johnny, Allison Tirado as Mrs. Fletcher, Damian Wilson as Jonathan Paris, aka Hillary Kent, and Bishop Yochebitis as Hercule Poirot. Our Foley artist was Benito Moreno Garza. Our recording engineer was Christopher Hodge. Audio editing and mixing by Benjamin Haworth. Our music consultant is Donald Thede. Production team was Jody Diamond, Anne Frank, Phil Ginsimer, Dan Green, Benjamin Haworth, Christopher Hodge, Kim Shipman, and Mary Yochebitis. Tech team was Arthur Clark, Benito Moreno Garza, Lindsay Martinez, Sophia Ellis, and William Whitman. Special thanks to Sherry Cruz, Socorro Moreno Garza, Casey Bedker, Gus Bedker, Stephen J. O'Connor, Jody Diamond, Samantha Weber, Angela Garcia, Drina Gonzalez-Boutte, Aiden Kelly, Mark DiTrinaltis, Father James Murphy, Sergio Plata and the entire STH custodial crew, and Mary Yochebitis. And now for our parting thoughts. You know, whenever I think of the year 2021, all I can think about is, well...
Monsieur, would you be so good as to explain why you are so long in arriving?
Oh, mon Dieu, this is too much.
Thank you all for listening and for your support. Tune in next time for our final radio drama of 2020, a Candy Matson mystery, The Cable Car Murder.